Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a rainy summer day. I look to my right and lo and behold, it's a great one. Dougtonus, how you doing, brother?
We're just living the dream over here, Fred. You know, we got...
Isn't it exciting?
We got a couple of draft prospects to go through today. I don't know. Do you want to cover any other news? There's the new Windy City Bulls GM was hired as a new scout for the
Bulls. What about the Knicks? Isn't that pretty big news? Taking down the West.
I know it's
in
big
game
for you.
One.
See blue, Fred. I knew you'd be excited. I think everyone is kind of rooting for the Knicks. Is that true? Does that feel true?
No.
Maybe not.
Have you seen
maybe
Big Dave?
Not amongst Bulls fans, but like
definitely not.
But I mean, amongst like fans in general, I feel like the Knicks are the sentimental favorite.
I don't know. New York's pretty hated. I think probably if I had to take a guess, I think the country would probably be still cheering for Wemby, probably at a 60-40 rate, so. Maybe 70-30. Yeah, but it is as big. It, to me, I can't remember what commentator said this. It would be as big as a Cubs win in a World Series. I don't think it would be as big, but it's pretty close, dude. I mean, they haven't won a title since... We were essentially, I think, before we were born, right? 73 or so, somewhere around there. So
I feel like it was 74.
That's a long time.
Was the last one, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, it's such a long time of just, you know, complete inadequacy. And I think even I, who was pretty optimistic about them getting to the finals and competing, I did not expect them to win 12 in a row. It's freaking insane, dude. It really is. And I'm just happy for Towns. I love Towns. I've always liked Karl Anthony Towns. And I thought the nonsense that Butler pulled on him in 2000, was it 18 now? And, you know, he's a loser. And I just think he's been unfairly criticized over the years. And man, oh man, did he have a game in game one. What say you?
I don't know that he had like that amazing of a game. It was good.
Dude, he was 1-on-1 against Wemby. Wemby was 2-of-12.
Yeah, he was. Well, I mean, yeah, he did a nice job defensively. Wemby was just awful that game. But I did think Towns did a nice job defensively. He had a good stretch. Was it like in the third quarter? There was like one little stretch
fantastic.
Where he had like a really nice offensive run. I wouldn't say like a great offensive game relative to the types of games he can have. Not like he was terrible in offense or anything, but like, you know, you've seen him put up much bigger offensive games, but the defense was big and that was pretty important. And, you know, given how bad Wemby played, I thought that was a critical game for the Knicks to get and they got it. You know, Jalen Brunson, who really was having like an absolute turd of a game through three quarters, then just, you know, when he checked in with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had a just tremendous finish. I think he scored, I want to say it was like 15 in the last roughly 7 minutes of the game out of his
yeah.
points. And it was like on like 10 shots. And before that, he had scored like 16 on like 21 shots with like four turnovers or something. I mean, it was like not a really great early run for Brunson, but
got hurt, closed it.
Yeah, got knocked on the knee. Wemby got knocked on the knee. But both of them seemed okay afterwards, so it's good. You don't. I was scared when I saw both those knee injuries happen that like either one of those guys was just going to be out, and then like this finals is just going to be a dud, right? Like if the Spurs was Wemby or the Knicks lost Brunson, either way, like the series is over and there's nothing interesting. But fortunately, both guys seemed to just come back fine, and it was a really great game to watch. So.
I'm fascinated by the Knicks. I think it's a very strange team. You have a very defensively challenged point guard who can't, you know, really guard just due to his size. He's not a plus defender. Towns is a weird defender. I think he's underrated when he guards down. But he's not obviously a great defender. Then you have two of the best defenders in the league on the perimeter with OG and Cal Bridges. You know, those guys are freaking awesome.
Very good,
as
yeah.
perimeter defenders. You know, so it's just a weirdly built team that I kind of find fascinating. But on the offensive end, I mean, you can't find a better big to pair with Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. He's such a good three-point shooter. I saw this quote from Utah coach Will Hardy on Karl Anthony Towns. He said, "The threat of the three hurts you more than the three itself." And I've always felt that is true about these really elite three-point shooters. That's why I was always pissed off that Korver never played more in the 2011 and 12 playoffs. And I know you were one of the guys who was, you know, he sucked and he did. He did not play well, but just him out there standing out there creates space for Rose. Doesn't matter how bad he plays, far more than it does for arm butter Keith Bogan. So, you know, it is what it is. And the Knicks, I think this is a great series. It's going to be great. I think it's going to go six games, Knicks in six. This is my prediction. What say you?
I got Spurs in six.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see you tonight. We'll see who's right tonight. But let's get on to the beloved Bull.
Yeah.
Enough about the Knicks. Did you have anything you want to add on that? Or no?
Let's go on. No. I think the Knicks caught that one, you know, early, but I just, whatever. I don't want to talk more about it. Yeah. I still got the Spurs, but I'm rooting for the Knicks. I hope the Knicks pull it out. I feel like the Spurs are going to get one, if not this year, next year. Like, they're going to get one. Like, I feel like if the Knicks don't get it this year, they're probably not going to get one. So I hope they find a way.
Oh, 100% agree. Like, I think it's going to be either Oklahoma City or the Spurs for the next 4 out of 5 years, provided there aren't any injuries to SGA or Wemby. Yeah. I just think those two teams are head and shoulders above everybody else, and everybody else can just, you know, try to build for the next 3-4 years when they start getting the financial crunch. So let's go on to the beloved Bull. First of all, let's talk about the head coaching search. I don't know about you. Like, I'm starting to hear a little bit more concerns, like, what the heck is going on? I was listening to Ricky O'Donnell and on Cash Considerations, which is obviously a great podcast I recommend everybody listen to. And he kind of brought up the point, like, you know, when Graham took over, he's kind of a little concerned that he didn't, like, have a head coach in mind immediately to kind of bring in. And I thought that was kind of an interesting point and really think of. Maybe it was Sean
Sweeney.
Yes, Sean Sweeney. Maybe it was Sean Sweeney. But I thought that was a pretty interesting point. Like, what say you? Is it starting to bother you yet that, you know, the Bulls still don't have a head coach, or is it
not a big deal? It doesn't bother me. I don't think it's a big deal. I fans are always anxious for everything to happen fast, whether it matters or doesn't matter. You know, like, if you remember way back in the AK starting era, and they had Jim Boylan there. And I think it was like, it took them like 3 weeks to fire Jim Boylan, and they hired Billy Donovan. And I think that was, like, you know, obviously a great move to fire Jim Boylan. And I think, you know, say what you will, I think Donovan was a really good hire who added a lot of respect to the team and helped a lot of things. And everyone was panicked when they didn't fire Jim Boylan, like, the second he took the job. He was taking a bunch of heat, and then they fired him and they brought in Billy. And then, like, you know, like, 2 weeks later after that, it just, like, never mattered. You know, so people just get upset about things because they want to know the answer and they want to feel comfortable about it. But, like, I just don't think it really matters. So we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully they bring in someone soon. You know, the one downside you have is if you're going to start doing workouts with players, your head coach is not going to be able to work out the draft prospects, you know, that are coming in. So, you know, that can kind of be a little bit of a downside. But, you know, to be honest, I hate it when teams take guys that, like, just worked out really well for them. I just feel like that's, like, such a dangerous thing to do. Like, a guy has, like, one good day in a non-NBA or non, like, team environment, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to draft him now. That's probably how he got stuck with Patrick Williams. So,
yeah, or vice versa. There's a good player who has a one bad day. And, so, you know, it's like, come on, look at the tape.
So while that's, like, a little bit of a downer, I don't think it's that big a deal. So yeah, I'm not that concerned. You know, I think I read something, I forget where it was. Maybe it was the Tribune, or maybe it was Jake Fisher. And but someone, there's something on the Bulls coaching search for this, that they expect to kind of have a list of finalists next week. So it kind of feels like we're getting towards the end of this thing, which makes sense where we are. And, you know, we don't really know what's happening behind the scenes with everything. We don't know if, like, guys are interviewing, like, many times or going back and forth with guys. You know, if we're being very thorough and thoughtful in the hiring, I think that's more important than making fans feel happy that it's done.
Out of the remaining names, though, that are kind of being talked about, I'd have Mike Inouye, Kevin Young, Thiago Splitter, James Borrego, Dan Craig.
Chris Quinn.
Who am I missing? Chris Quinn, that's another one that came up. Johnny, what's Johnny's last name?
Bryant.
I forget. Yes, Johnny Bryant. Any of those names, do you have a preference? If you had to say Wes Unseld Jr. was the other one. What am I talking about?
Our own assistant.
Yeah, which would be...
I don't know. I mean, Wes Unseld Jr. was viewed as, like, an elite coaching prospect, like, a few years ago. And I think he went to the Wizards, was it, as a head coach?
He did.
And that team did poorly. You know, like, but he was an elite prospect as a coach back then. And so, you know, I don't think I would hate it so much. Like, you know, Mike Inouye is like Wes Unseld without going to a place where he fails, you know, and who is going to succeed at the Wizards. So, you know, I don't know that, like, I'd be as down on Wes Unseld as I think everyone else will be. And I think people just overrate all these assistants, generally speaking. Like, oh, this guy can't miss, this guy's hot. Like, whatever, there's hot assistants every year. And I'm not going to be too hung up on who it is. You know, it's like, you just really don't know anything about any of these guys. And people will just make a lot of assumptions about any of them. So I don't have a lot of feel for it, and I don't think anyone else has a lot of feel for it. So there's no reason to have a strong opinion based on the information you can know. It's not like a player where you can watch them play and scout them. It's just, it is what it is. And I felt the same about like Bryson Graham. I didn't like his resume. I loved his interviews, which is refreshing from AK, but I didn't like his resume coming in. But is he going to be good or bad? Like, who knows? I don't know that like this other guy would be better. Like, you just have really no way to know. You don't know what's going on the inside. So people get really emotional about some of these hires that you really just have nothing but gut feel, and it's based on like just random words someone on the internet wrote about them that probably also doesn't know anything. I don't get too up or down on these types of decisions that you don't really have a reasonable way to gauge yourself.
All I can say is I think you touched on something, which is the fact there's no way for us to know. We don't know these guys, how they are with the team. We don't know how they are with the players, if they garner the respect of the players. But I can guarantee you this, just based on my experience and just seeing it from at the high school level, there is a massive difference in the quality of coaches and sometimes their reputation. Some guys will have an incredible reputation, and in reality, when you get close to it, they're not really that great. They just have some
I'm
fantastic
going to
talent.
go out on a limb here, Fred, and say that the variance in high school coaches might be a little bit different than the variance of like the top like
No
30
doubt,
people in the world.
no, I understand that, but I'm also going to go on a limb here and say all these candidates for this job, they're not equal. Some of them are better than others, and it's up to Bryson Graham to determine who's the best possible one. So I don't know. We don't know because we don't have that inside look on that. But
Agreed.
I'm certain the delta between who's the best candidate and who's the worst, it's
And
significant in this
you
list.
got to look for really specific things, right? You're going to have an extraordinarily young team. You're going to be trying to develop, probably two first round draft picks most likely this year, plus Noah Esenge from last year, who's going to be probably as young or younger than our two first round draft picks this year. Maybe an early third round, second rounder rather, if we hang on to number 38. I wouldn't be surprised if we trade that. You still got Mattis, who's young, to develop. I think this is going to be a really young team. I was looking at something, and it's like if you just count our draft picks and the current people on the roster, like the average age of the team is going to be like 22. So you're really looking at someone who can connect with people around that age, someone who's going to be able to mentor young players, develop young players. You're going to need maybe a different skill set than you might need, if you're co coaching, say, the New York Knicks. We've got like a lot of veterans
Yes,
and,
yes.
like a maybe shorter rotation and are trying to win. So it's also just about the skill set you need and the personality that's going to mesh with, these types of people and players. And I know everyone would just like totally hate Wes Unseld Jr., but like one thing is he knows Mattis, he knows Giddey, the less other players on the team, the less important. But those guys really seem to like Billy Donovan. They've worked with this guy for a while. They might have like a really good relationship. And if you're looking at like the relationship really matters, and you know how this guy has kind of coached the young players you've had, like you might value that, And like I said, he was previous head coach. He was viewed as an elite candidate at one point. So I wouldn't be so down on that. I think that's the only hire that fans would completely freak out if it was made about. And I don't think that would be right. I think it's just as good as the other hires. But we'll see what happens with it. I'm going to be pretty neutral no matter who it is.
One final comment on this that we'll get into in a future show because I don't want to get too in-depth into it. But, I was just recently reading, doing a little research on Bulls coaches and the history of these coaches. And it was an interesting data point I saw on Vinny Del Negro, who I thought was one of the worst coaches in history. He was just awful with just basic things like taking timeouts or saving timeouts at the end of games. And he had enough talent that he never had a losing season with the Bulls. He coached us 2 years. We were 500 both years. So, there's guys that had far worse records that are much better coaches than Vinny Del Negro, but they didn't have as much talent.
For sure.
So anyhow, one of the things I saw was like out of timeouts, there was a deep research done on who was the best in the league in the NBA. And he was the worst by far in out of timeout plays. Like I think he had one what was deemed to be a quality play for an entire season out of a timeout, where the best coaches that or something like that resulted in points were like in the 30s, right? They designed 30 plays that resulted were deemed high quality. He had one. So like, but then there's other areas where fine guys are really good at X's and O's, really good as leaders of men, and really good at developing talent. Like those are probably the three most important things in terms of, are you a leader of men? Do the guys want to play hard for you? I think Billy Donovan was very good at that. I never really felt like the Bulls were despite all the nonsense that went on there and the lack of talent in the roster, I always thought they played pretty hard for the most part. I know you disagreed at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And then there's the other thing, X's and O's. I also thought he was pretty good at that. Like, for the most part, on defense, I thought he did really well with a team that was very defensively challenged. And offensively, maybe you can argue on that, that it wasn't great. But regardless, there's X's and O's. And then there's a third area of, are you developing the talent? Are you a good teacher? Are you helping these guys get better as basketball players? So out of those three, I think you would agree with me, right? For this next coaching hire, I'd be willing to sacrifice a little bit of the X's and O's for a guy that's developing the talent. Is that, that's probably the most important thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Out of those three qualities in a coach, right?
I think that seems fair for this team coming up. That would be your most important attribute. The one thing I'll say, though, is like a lot of the player development is really going to come down to your assistants and not your head coach. Right. Like you've got like 5-6 assistants on the team. You're going to have numerous personal trainers. You're going to have all these other people. So your overall support staff is really what's going to lead your player development more so than just your head coach. Your head coach is going to dole out minutes, maybe position those guys to be successful in game, manage the rotations, things like that. So, like of those things, I in some ways I might say like player development is never that critical in terms of the head coach, except that he is able to execute a strategy and bring in a staff that's able to manage it, right? So one of the things you don't think about so much in head coaches is the fact that they are actually running like a program. And so it's not just what they're doing as a coach, it's how they manage the program. It's the people they're able to bring in. It's the, you know, the way they're able to get all their assistants to work together, the way they're able to tie everything out, you know? And so that's like another piece to this that I think is,
important. Well said. Let's get into this after the finals are over, because sure. I do want to talk about that. Because
we'll just know who the coach is at that point, too. Like,
we'll also know, too, if Mike Brown, you know, won a title for the Knicks. And I think that's a worthwhile conversation to talk about.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about Mike Brown.
Far better reputation than a former Bulls coach. Never mind. I don't want to get into it right now. All right. Nate Ament. How do you pronounce it? Is it Ament or Ament?
I think it's Ament.
I guess it's Ament. Yeah. Okay. Nate Ament. A 6'10" freshman from Tennessee, highly touted, 5-star recruit. Wrapped up his one and done year. He's put up about 17 points, I think, 6.5 rebounds, 2+ assists a game, shot 40% from the field, 33% from three, helped the Volunteers reach the Elite Eight, earned second team all SEC. Very interesting watch on my behalf. I really enjoyed watching him. I think he's got a lot of good things. 80% from the free throw line. Got to the line 7 times per game. What say you, DT, about Nate Ament?
I was like less impressed than I thought I would be, which I guess isn't like super shocking, you know, when you look at the numbers, because the numbers aren't so impressive. So, you know, from a way of background, he was viewed potentially to be up there with the top of the draft, like prior to the season started. Like he was viewed as like a top 5 type of talent compared to Kevin Durant. He was supposed to be an elite shooter. That shooting just didn't seem to translate into the college game from high school. He didn't shoot the ball very well at all. He did shoot like much better later in the season. I think it was like 40% like towards the end in the NCAA tournament or something like that. Or maybe it was just the last end of the season, because I think it was lousy shooting in the tournament. But anyway, regardless, like he had a very up and down year shooting the ball for a guy who came in supposed to be basically, you know, this, you know, really tall, you know, pretty athletic, very rangy forward with like a great jump shot, and didn't shoot very well. You know, it's weird. It's like a guy who like looks the part. It just kind of just reminds me of God, what was the guy, the promise back from the day, who just like looked like Scottie Pippen. You know, the guy we nicknamed the promise because the Bulls made him a promise.
Oh, Chandler Hutchinson.
Chandler Hutchinson. You can just kind of like look the part. Like Nate Ament like absolutely looks the part. He's athletic enough. He's built enough. He's got a great NBA body. Then like he draws a lot of fouls, but like he looks like pretty hopeless as a finisher. Like for a guy who's so athletic and so tall, like he really has like very few dunks. Like you'd expect him to have all kinds of dunk highlights. It's like almost none. I thought like pretty decent form on his jump shot. It you know, felt like maybe a little bit modest, like where like his reputation as a shooter from high school is a lot better than what he did the next year. And so maybe he's going to come in the NBA and actually deliver a little bit more on that shooting reputation. But for a guy who's like so many physical gifts, I just thought he kind of just like floated around the perimeter a lot. I don't know. I mean, I guess he did generate just a crap load of fouls, but like just I thought he was like a terrible finisher. Like if he wasn't getting bailed out on fouls, it was just like I just didn't see much there. The defensive numbers were like okay. I thought a little lacking again relative to the physical tools he has. Like you'd think this guy would be a really good defensive prospect given his athleticism and his length, but just didn't see that come out again and again.
No
And
doubt, no
so,
doubt.
you know, like that's kind of where I was at. Like this guy is like he's an upside package, you know, like you'd be drafting him based on a lot more on the traits than based on what he did. And if we follow your rule of never ignore the tape, we should probably let this guy go.
Well, there's a few good things. He had 29-8 against Kentucky. I always kind of like to look at the games that they play really good competition, see how he did. They won on the road over Alabama. He was 18-4, 3 and 2 blocks. He had a good game there, and he had a really good game. Now, that was against Iowa State in the Sweet 16, who I thought was an excellent team. He had 29-7 on a road win over against Alabama. Elite Eight against Michigan, he struggled. He only had 8 points in that one, but they have a ton of freaking great defenders, starting with Yaxel. The thing that bothered me the most was his. I just couldn't believe he wasn't a better shot blocker. And to put this in perspective, like Chris Carr, Cameron, excuse me, Cameron Carr, who I love, averaged 1.3 blocks per game. He's 6'5", 184 pounds. Immense 6'9", 6'10", 210, and he had 0.06 or 0.6 it was. So literally Cameron Carr almost doubled his shot total. I mean, his shot block total. So that one was a little bit concerning to me. But the things I did like, 80% from the free throw line and gets there a ton. That's always a good sign, I think.
I didn't think the way he got to the free throw line was maybe quite so replicable
Impressive.
in the NBA. I guess that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Like the so like I he got there a lot, but I wasn't watching it like, oh yeah, this is gonna translate. You know, like some guys you're like, oh yeah, that's gonna tra I didn't get that feeling that that's gonna translate super well. So that could be wrong. You know, usually guys who get to the line a lot, I feel like that's a skill that can often translate, but for the way I was watching him, it didn't pop like the way I would have expected to.
Couple caveats. He's 19, young
Yeah.
kid. He's still growing. Like, so he's 6'10, 210. Like, you know, that's modest
He was
size,
like
but
190 when the year started too, or his like high school weight was
are
190.
you
Like
serious? Oh my
he
God.
added a
I didn't
lot of
know
weight
that.
over the year, like a lot of muscle. So I mean I think that's a positive that he filled out, and that could also be one of those things as you're filling out, you know, your body's changing and maybe that hurt his shooting form a little bit, and he's got to like reacclimate to, you know, carrying the extra weight.
Yeah, and then I also looked, hey, were there any injuries that he had that might have affected his play? He had a late season high ankle sprain, which is always a pain in the rear end, and a knee tweak, but he has no major long-term concerns as far as injuries. So I'm like I really liked, I definitely liked them more than you. I think Cameron Carr is like better scoring efficiency and shot blocking, but Ament I thought was pretty good at steals. He was pretty active
Yeah.
hands. I kind of liked it, and he wasn't a terrible playmaker, I felt. I would be fine with him if he got at 15,
Yeah. The one thing I'll say
but I
is
prefer probably Carr.
Cameron Carr is also 2 years older. So, you know,
Yeah, there you
you got to
go.
factor in like well what would Nate Emmett do if he had 2 more years? You know, like, you know, it's like so I think it's tough to compare guys who are a couple of years apart, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into that debate with Yaxel in a moment.
Last thing, you would not be happy if they got him at 15 because
No, I'd
I
be
would.
okay. It's just he's gonna be a big boom or bust player. You know, like if it all works out, he could be a star player. You know, like if you take his high school shooting, yeah, if you take his high school shooting reputation and his physical gifts, you could see how he could be a star player. You could see how he could become a good defender. You could see a lot of these things, but like, you know, right now it's not there. Like, you know, again, like low assist rate too. Not nor near the block steal rates you'd expect for a guy with his tools. So, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, you said something brilliant the other day, which is like just don't ignore the tape. And the tape says this guy's got a long way to go, like despite all the tools. So, I don't know. Like, I just said that's it. But I'd be okay. Like, you take big swings, you know, and a super athletic wing player who can shoot. Is and has great length is a swing that is not bad to take. Like it's hard, you know, so that's fine.
At 15, Cameron Carr is on the board, Immense on the board, Phylon's on the board. Who do you pick?
I don't know, man. That's tough. I think I feel like I have to go with Ament, even though I just said a bunch of like bad things about him. Like I just like I think I just have to. I just think like the upside is. I just think the
he upside, plays in such a good conference.
Yeah, I just think like the upside is too high. Whereas it's just like. Like, okay, Cameron Carr's got like marginally better numbers, but like, yeah, he's also 2 years older. Like, do I think Nate Emmett is better than that in 2 years? Like, yeah, probably, like almost certainly, right? Like, so.
Well, I don't know. I got to push back on you there. It's not marginally better, man, when it comes to like the 3-point percentage and the overall field goal percentage.
33 to 37% and like 3-point percentage.
It's 37.4 versus 33. That's a massive amount in 3-point shooting. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When the best and the worst is 40 and the worst is 33, that's a large difference. So it is. And then, you know, he's doubled his shot blocking.
It's probably like 3 3-pointers on the year. Like it's just probably what it is. Like it's just not that big a difference.
How about Filon? If Filon's there,
I don't like Filon all that much. I don't think like I don't know. Like he's good. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he's so tiny.
Look, and, here we go. Yeah, 50-40, dude. 50-40. I love those stats. 50-40. Anyhow, let's move on from him. Okay. Let's get into our next one. What's our next guy?
Do you want to go Lopez or Yexel?
Yeah, let's do Lopez. Let's go into Lopez. So Lopez, he's I think is he 19? Is that right? Yeah. Kareem Lopez.
Yeah, he's 19.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Born in Mexico, played. I think he left Mexico at 14. This is off the top of my head from what I read. Went to go play in a Spanish league. And then eventually went to this league in Australia.
We should have brought up Marquez to talk about him.
Yeah. Do you think he would have known anything about him? If he did, I mean, this is the same guy like Mini Cooper. So what are we going to get out of that? But big picture, he played in the NBL, which is Australia's top professional basketball league. It's a 10-team professional league.
Yeah.
Let's see. He's 6'9". He's got a pretty good frame. He's 6'9", 222, which is pretty good. Considered to be a pretty good driver. Good rebounder for wing forward. Solid playmaker in open floor. In general, I took from all the scouting reports I read, kind of like a jack all trades, master of none. And then I watched the tape, and I wasn't that impressed. I'll be honest. This guy, I would not be happy if we drafted out of that league. Everybody's like, "Well, it's a great league. It's fantastic." Here are the top 10 guys out of that league: LaMelo Ball, Josh Giddey, Alex Sarr. All right, number 4, RJ Hampton, Deang, AJ Johnson, Rocco Zakarski, Alex Tui. This sucks. It sucks. It's not great. I don't want to hear it's better. You want me to name the guys in the last? So this league's been around since 2018. You want to hear about the guys who played at Duke since 2018?
Yeah, but you're not playing Duke every game. You're playing like a ton of like crap teams every game.
That's not true. It is. The Duke's playing a lot of damn good teams.
Duke is playing good. I don't know. I think there is something to playing in a pro league. And producing. I think it matters some.
Depends on the league, but go on.
Yeah, it does depend on the league.
Do you like him? Do you like him? What's your take on him?
I liked him maybe a little bit more than I thought I would. Like when I read about him, I was just like, I'm not interested in this guy at all. And then when I watched him, you know, I'd say the downside is I wouldn't say he's a jack of all trades, a master of none. Like I just think he doesn't have very many trades at all. To be honest, like it didn't strike me as like a great shooter. He's not a good ball handler, and thus he doesn't really have any advanced shot creation whatsoever. Is mainly playing in this like cutter role, and yeah, that's fine. What I would say though is he was like super physical. I thought he had really good defensive potential. He was reasonably athletic, reasonably sized, and I just thought like the defense was there, and I could see how it could come together because he just seemed like NBA level physical at 19. He's like one of the youngest kids in the draft. He's like even like a very he just turned 19 type of age. So I liked him a little bit more than I thought I would. But I think he would also be a project. And then you know, if I'm looking at him or Ament, then I'm going to get back to like, well, Ament has better physical tools. You know, he's definitely a way better ball handler, definitely has way better shooting form and more advanced like shot selection. So I would take Ament over him, but I kind of had like Kareem Lopez. I'm like, there's no way I draft this kid list, and now I'm like, well, probably not. But I wouldn't maybe hate it quite as much as I did before I looked.
Yeah, I definitely would not want him. 11.9 points per game, 6.1 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 1.2 steals. That's pretty good. You're right. His defense was, out of all the things I saw on tape, was better than I expected. Everything else, I was just kind of like, all the highlights I saw, I'll be completely honest. Everything I saw was highlights and didn't see one full game.
Yeah, I didn't
which is
watch,
always
I didn't
a little
watch
bit negative,
full games. So.
Which is a negative for me. But all the highlights I saw, I was like, this is not going to happen in an NBA game. This is not going to happen in an NBA game. It was like all like dunks where nobody. Basically, none of these plays were really impressive to me. Not least, it was like the exact opposite feeling as watching Yaxel's tape, where and so I was just, and I had a feeling on it a little bit. I thought he was a poor man's Denny Average, and you know what I thought about Denny Average when I watched his tape. Now,
you
into
thought he was
his,
average?
what would they all say? Kareem definitely, I think, shot a little bit better than Denny Average. That's where I thought he was going to have the major issue, and Denny's turned himself, to his credit, into a good shooter. But, 32% from three, 74% from the line. Only
I
gets
didn't
the
have a
line
lot
three
of
times
faith.
per game.
I didn't have a lot of faith if it was a shooter either, because like his shot selection wasn't particularly advanced. Like, you can't just look at the percentages sometimes. You've got to look at like what type of shots they're taking. And yeah, he just didn't look like he had a lot in his bag from the way he shoots. And so, for me, I think his some guys, it's like if you look at Luka Doncic as an example, maybe like we underestimated him at draft time because his shooting percentage was really low. But the type of shots he took like had still a reasonable degree of difficulty to them. And we probably should have upgraded him a little bit based on the type of shots he was willing and able to take. And Kareem Lopez is not that type of low percentage shooter.
Yeah. Well, let's move on from Lopez because I
All right.
definitely don't want the Bulls to get him. And lastly, we're going to speak about my guy,
Your guy.
Yaxel Lendeborg. 6'9", 6'9", 240. Let me repeat. 240 pound forward for Michigan.
It's almost like he's
15
4
points.
years older than everyone else.
No, he's 23.
Yeah. Everyone
15
else is
points,
19. 4 years
6.8
older,
rebounds.
19
Oh,
plus four.
how much you want to bet here, DT, that none of these guys, everyone we talked about in this entire draft, none of them, unless it's the center, are going to be 240 pounds by the time they're 23 years old. You want to bet? I'll bet you right
I
now.
mean,
You want to bet?
I don't really care.
$100, another $100. Let's do
I
another
don't really,
$100
I don't
bet.
really care if they're
You think
240.
Ament's going to be 240?
I think
You don't really care?
I think Ament
Let me
will
tell
probably
you're going to
be
care.
I think Ament will probably be 225,
230?
230, and
Maybe.
Ament will play small forward, and Yaxel is not a small forward. So like I don't think that I don't think that weight is going to matter. But whatever, yeah. He's
Senior season.
a big dude. He's a strong dude. He's a he's got an
Let me just finish the intro.
NBA body.
Let me finish
Okay,
the
sorry,
intro.
my bad.
15 points, 6.8 rebounds, 7 rebounds a game, 3.2 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks. Let me repeat. 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks, 30 minutes. 51% from the field, 37% from three, 82% from the free throw line. I repeat, 82% from the free throw line, 7.4 wingspan, super versatile. He can pass, he can handle the ball, stretch the floor, rebounds, guards multiple positions, high IQ, great feel for the game, and man, oh man, does this guy play freaking hard. What say you, DT?
I mean, like everything he does is good. I think you actually missed. I just want to toss out one, I thought, really impressive thing. 7'3" wingspan. One of the bigger wingspans in the draft,
That's what I
especially.
just said.
Oh, I didn't hear you mention the wingspan. My bad.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah.
yeah. 7'4". That's what the number I had, but maybe right. Maybe it was
Se
seven four.
7'3", 2'5" was what the measurement was at the combine.
Which is
Which is,
insane.
yeah, really, really great wingspan. Great defensive tools. Complete NBA body. Plays hard, looks good. Not the greatest athlete, at least from a run jump perspective. Doesn't play very high above the rim. To me, that's like a negative for a power forward. But the rest of the tools are there, and because he's so long and has like so much strength, like he's not gonna need to tig it up in the air to play so vertical. Like sometimes if you can play tall but without having to jump so much, that also is a big advantage, right? Because you're not leaving your feet and you can be a much more like fundamentally based. So I mean, it really just comes down to me. The two things I would fault Yaxel for, the only two things is his age and then maybe the lack of vertical pop. Those are the two things that like you would say are flaws. And otherwise he's just kind of doing everything, right? Like this is a jack of all trades. If you want to have a jack of all trades, right? Like good on defense, good on offense. Just does a bit of everything. It's hard to see him not being a player in the NBA. Like, he's going to be a role player. It's hard for me to see him being more than a role player. But I think he's probably like fourth, fifth starter, or maybe like, rotation big, like maybe, depending what you have in your starting lineup. Like, if you got two great bigs, maybe he's going to be your third big off the bench. I think he's going to have a good long career in the NBA. Maybe not exactly the same type of player, but a little bit like Taj Gibson, this guy who came in, who was a lot older, pretty much popped right away, could do a lot of things right away, had a really long, great, solid career. Yaxel's probably got a few more things in his bag than Taj did. But like, I think that type of comparison to me, in terms of like maybe not the exact same, but outcome seems to be kind of similar in some ways.
Well, I had this experience with, I have a lot of friends throughout the Big Ten.
No doubt.
I have some close friends at Purdue, close friends at Illinois, close friends at Iowa. Every person I talked to, and we would talk basketball. What's the best team you saw this year? They all say Michigan. Who's the best player in Michigan? Yaxel. Everyone. And everyone talked about his defense specifically. And from my perspective, he was by far the best defender that I saw from any team on our best player, which was Wagler. And he pretty much manhandled him, I thought.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, our guy's 19, right? He's still young. He's still getting stronger. And you're right. It's a 4-year age difference. But dude, every time I watched a game with this guy, he was the best player on the court. And I didn't think anybody else was really close. The second best player was Johnson on Michigan, usually. Even better guys than our team. I freaking love this guy. And the more I watched it, I'm like, dude, this guy's underrated as a ball handler. He's handling the ball. Then the next comment, dude, this guy's underrated as a passer. He's an awesome passer. Dude, this guy's underrated as a defender. This guy's underrated as a shot blocker. There's nothing on this guy's game that he does poorly. And not only that, I think he's better than like 80% of the Bulls roster already. If he's on the team, he's already better than most of these guys. I can't get over his defensive versatility. I freaking love it. He plays so freaking hard and he's a winner. I am in love with Yaxel. And honestly, if he wasn't 23, he'd be my probably
Well, if he did,
one
if he
or
could
two
do
pick.
this at 19, he'd be like the number one or number two pick in the draft, but he can't. Like,
That's
so
right.
like, like that is
Well,
the
you
way it
can't
is.
go back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was 19 and
He
he
could
wasn't
have gone
doing this. Like, it's not
back.
like he wasn't 19 at some point. So, like he wasn't 19 year
Playing
old.
video
He
games or whatever.
didn't
I
skip, he didn't
agree.
skip 5 years, somewhere, just jump from 18 to 23. I like Yaxel as well. Like I said, I think he'll be a solid pro. I do think there's at least some question about, he plays so hard and he is such a grown man compared to all the other people in college. I do just kind of wonder, without the vertical pop, how all of that's going to translate once he's playing against guys who are just as strong and just as big as he is.
Can I push back on this a little bit?
You can.
Can you name me the guys in the NBA who weigh 240 and are more athletic than him? LeBron?
I think almost everyone who weighs 240 is more athletic than him in the NBA.
No, that's not true. Are you kidding me? Come on, Doug. That's not true. Do you think Luka's more athletic than this guy? He's not.
I think so.
Any
The guy
center in the
had
league
a
is not more
20.
athletic. You think Vooch is more athletic?
The guy had a 25 and a half inch standing vertical. It was like one of the lowest tests in the combine. Like, he's,
Standing
yeah,
vertical.
like how high you can jump without a running start. It's like one of the premier measures of athleticism, at least from a vertical perspective. He just doesn't play high above the rim at all. Like, he's an at the rim player, and I get nervous about at the rim players in the NBA. Like,
Not when they have a 7'4"
there's a lot
wingspan.
of super good at the rim players in college, and a lot of times those guys struggle to translate. Like, I like Yaxel. I think he's got enough that I think he's going to translate. I just don't know that there's really going to be that much more upside than role player. Like, I think he's,
If he was 6'4" or 6'5", I agree with you. He's 6'9", and he's long as
but he's
hell.
still playing at the
And
rim. Like, to be 6'9 and still play at the rim is,
he still plays over the rim. He had a ton of
yeah.
dunks for the team. Like, I don't know how much more you want him to get above the rim. Like, I
So
agree
it's
with
like
you. He's
his,
not like,
yeah. Anyway,
he's 240 though,
yeah.
too. That's my other
Well,
point. Like,
fine. I just, like I said,
we gotta find the
I want a
list.
guy. I don't really care. I want a guy who's just, it's my power forward should be able to have more verticality. Is like the thing that I'm not saying you don't draft him because of that. If he's there at 15, I can't imagine anyone else being there at 15. I would take over him. So if he's there, I'm sure we'll both be happy to have him. But I do wonder, just like I said, I don't think there's like tons of upside there. That's all.
Do you think he's more athletic than Karl Anthony Towns? Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. I think no.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. Dude, come on. Brook Lopez, Wendell Carter Jr., DeAndre Jordan. Yell me to stop when I name all the guys who weigh 240.
Dude, more.
Jokic, Embiid,
I think,
well, Zion, yeah, I give you.
If you go with guys who have, like, just look up the vertical, you just go look up how much vertical is good. 25 and a half inches is, like, one of the worst measures in, like.
Maybe he had an off day.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I'm scrolling down the list of my draft board on my of every guy who's mocked in the first or second round. He has the lowest vertical outside of probably a Mara. It was 24 inches, unless I've missed one. It's the only guy with less vertical pop than him at the combine. Okay, well, I mean, it's a statistical fact. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, sorry, you don't like it.
You know, he had a 17-inch vertical? Nikola Jokic. That was his vertical. Paul Pierce had, I think, 20. Larry Bird, 18. Luka Doncic,
are you just, like, 19. Making these things up?
No, I'm looking it up right now while you're talking. You want another low vertical? Brunson, very low, lower than 25. Sengun, lower than 25. Sabonis, lower than 25. The top five players with low verticals are Jokic, Doncic, Brunson, Bird, and Pierce. I think, in fact, I'm going to say it right now. I think this guy is so good as a ball handler and passer. I think his ceiling is above a role player. I think he's got an all-star ceiling. He will make multiple all-star games, and he will immediately be one of the top 10 two-way players in the league. Everybody might be saying crazy talk. That's how good I think this guy is. He's freaking awesome, and I can't wait to watch him play basketball. And I hope it's for the Bulls. If we get him at 15, if Mara is available at 15 and this guy's available at 15 and we take Mara, it'll be it for me. I'm going to retire as a Bulls fan because there is no freaking way after watching all these games that Mara's even in his league. I can't tell you how many times this guy, Yaxel, set up Mara for an easy dunk. There's no one who paid more attention when they played Michigan. No one paid more attention to Mara.
Just so you know, all your vertical stats were BS. I looked up several of them.
What do you mean?
They're just wrong.
I'm looking right here. Jokic, 17
Where are you looking
Larry
at?
Bird.
Where are you looking at that?
ChatGPT.
Oh, great. I'm glad you used AI. Well, it's all wrong. So just so you know, like, if you actually go to the combine measurements that are official on NBA.com, like,
what's Brunson?
29 inches.
Really? Larry Bird?
I mean, they didn't do combine stats back then.
But Jokic was 17.
Jokic
was higher?
Jokic didn't compete in the combine.
They had air for 17 on them.
Yeah, so what I'm just saying, like, Luka all Doncic. Of your numbers there, I don't know. Do you remember what year Luka was drafted? Oh, yeah, here he is. He's in this year. I don't know if he was there either because he's international. Yeah, he didn't. He doesn't have an official number either.
I bet you if they had a jumping contest, Yaxel would beat them all.
Okay, yeah, Luka Doncic might do a few things that Yaxel doesn't do. Just toss this out there.
Well, you know what? Yaxel's a better defender.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll just toss it out there. Fred likes Yaxel more than Luka
Doncic. I freaking love him. I have him ranked, actually. If we want to do, I'm going to redo all my rankings. I have Yaxel.
Is he your number seven?
If he was 19.
He's not 19. He's 23. So is he your number seven at 23?
No doubt. I'd have him seven. I have him seven.
So you have him seven.
I might have him six.
You're going to put him up.
I might have him five.
Oh, really? You're going to put Yaxel ahead of Acuff and Wagler.
I just think he's that good. I just think he's the best two-way player in this draft by far.
I mean, it's honestly, I don't disagree with you. I just think that the 4 years makes a really huge difference. Like, I don't think you're wrong in saying that. Like, that's why it's hard to judge guys who are older. And you know what? There's just very few sample sizes of that. So it's not like we've got like 30 guys who have, like, you know, been really great at this age, you know, to compare to. You know, most guys who are good enough, like, don't end up in this boat before the NIL thing. People never came back. Like, you know, so whatever. Like, it's just there's not like a lot of examples of it to even like lean on historically to say, like, for sure this is going to matter or for sure it doesn't matter. So, you know, it's a concern, and we just kind of have to speculate a little bit.
After doing your prep on him, though, are you still, because last show you said you would take Carr ahead of him, which I would not.
I don't know.
Carr's like 21 years old.
Yeah,
22
yeah,
years old.
He's explaining the difference. He's 2 years older instead of
he's a year and a half younger.
He's 2 years older instead of 4 years older than everyone. Yeah, I don't know. I like Carr a lot. The other thing is if we draft Caleb Wilson and we have Matis Puzelis, and we have Noah Senge, who, you know, I don't know how much you want to put into him, but he's gonna be developing that same spot. Like, I would if I view Carr and Yaxel is even close, it's like I'd rather have Carr to have the positional variety.
Oh, I can't disagree more because I think Yaxel is the guy who can cover all the 230 guys that give Mattis, embarrass Mattis physically. He's just not strong
Yeah,
enough to guard
that's
a lot of
true.
these guys in
And
the league.
Caleb Wilson's not going to be a really big, thick guy either. That's a
Nope.
good point.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think the Axel out of all the
He's not
guys
going to be
is the
there.
best
He's
fit
not
for
going to be there at
Mattis.
15.
Yeah,
You'd
you're
have to
right.
trade up to get him.
For the next show, though, let's do Fleming because the reason why is because Ricky on his last show said that he thinks he could fall to 15, which I almost like fell out of my chair when he said that. But I guess it's possible. Like, there's always these guys that
Yeah, guys that
fall a
fall
little
for
bit.
some reason, one or
I'm
two
not a
other.
Fleming guy. I'll do a deep dive though for this, like I have on all these players. Maybe my opinion will change. So let's do him next. And what other players should we do?
Mikael Brown Jr. maybe, Braden Berries.
Oh, absolutely.
The rest of
Yeah.
those three guys,
Yeah.
kind of
I mean,
guards.
all these guys will probably be ahead of where the Bulls will pick, but there's a lot of rumors that the Bulls are going to move
Yeah,
up.
probably those three and Hayne or not Hayne Steinbeck. We did Hayne Steinbeck. Merez Johnson Jr. Maybe Chris Senek Jr. are like the guys left that are like worth kind of looking at that might be in our range.
Yeah, all right, so you're right. Yaxel is a full 2 years older than Carr. Yaxel is 23.8 and Carr is 21.6. So he's 2 years, 1 month, and 22 days older than Carr. That said, Carr's not going to be 240 in 2 years
I
and one
mean, I think
month,
you're
but.
really overstating the value of this weight. You're really excited about it.
I love the way the guy moves for 240 pounds. I
I
just think he
can't
moves
disagree
great.
with you. Like,
I
I
love,
think again,
yeah.
like physically, like yeah, I think he's got a lot of stuff. Like I said, the age is
He's
the
like an
thing.
OG. I was thinking, like, who would I compare him to?
You're
OG and an
like
OG.
15 minutes past your hard stop. Just so you know.
I gotta go. Yeah, it sounds good to me too.
Yeah,
Until next time, let's go, Bulls. Just bring the big red bus in. This was a good show. I enjoyed talking to you. We did it. These deep dives, I think the fans are enjoying it. So love your feedback. Send me emails at credfred@gmail.com. It's credfred@gmail.com. Give us your thoughts. And we're gonna bring the music back. We got way too many people saying that it's a huge part of their lives.
two to
So
three people have said this.
there's 2 to 3 people compared to the one or two that did not like it. Mark crying about AI or whatever. So those are the only guys. So we're up 3-2. All right.
Go Bulls.
Until next time, go
Go
Bulls. Take it
Bulls.
easy, team.
Bye.